This is John Milton's On the Morning of Christ's Nativity, typically known as the Nativity Ode. It was composed in 1629, when John Milton had just turned 21, and he mentions this in a letter to a friend as a way of saying that this is his own poetic coming of age, his first public demonstration of his poetic powers, which are considerable, his facility with language, and his own classical education, both at home and at Cambridge University, are conspicuous here. But more than that, his tremendous gift for linguistic melody, for being able to use language to its fullest, is quite astonishingly present here. At a very young age, for a poet who was always worried that he was a late bloomer, I don't think those fears can be said to be founded based on the evidence of this particular poem. It's got a couple of parts. The first part, sometimes called the proem, is written in a Spenserian stanza, like the poet that Milton called his great original, Edmund Spenser, with iambic pentameter lines, 5 beats to a line, except for the last line, which is a 6-beat line. And after 4 stanzas of this proem, or this prologue, we arrive at what Milton calls the hymn, which is the ode itself, written to narrate and to explicate the meaning of the birth of the Christ child. I'm reading this from the very book I used to read the Nativity Ode the very first time I read it, which was in the fall of 1980, in a class on John Milton, led by William Carrigan, who'd just come back from his leave, his sabbatical, in which he'd written The Sacred Complex, one of the truly great books on John Milton. One of the greatest, I would say. And in this particular poem, as I recall reading it, not only the facility, but the elegance, the massiveness, the delicacy, and also the great grand power of the verse really was like nothing else I'd read. And it was the beginning of a very long-term fascination with John Milton and his poetry. So here in the Christmas season, and as a remembrance of my own initiation into Milton studies many years ago, this is John Milton's On the Morning of Christ's Nativity, the Nativity Ode. This is the month, and this the happy morn, wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, of wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring. For so the holy sages once did sing, that he our deadly forfeit should release, and with his Father work us a perpetual peace. That glorious form, that light unsufferable, and that far-beaming blaze of majesty wherewith he wont at heaven's high council table to sit the midst of trinal unity, he laid aside, and here with us to be, forsook the courts of everlasting day, and chose with us a darksome house of mortal clay. Say, heavenly muse, shall not thy sacred vein afford a present to the infant God? Hast thou no verse, no hymn, or solemn strain to welcome him to this his new abode? Now, while the heaven by the sun's team untrod hath took no print of the approaching light, and all the spangled host keep watch in squadrons bright. See how from far upon the eastern road the star-led wizards haste with odors sweet. O run, prevent them with thy humble ode, and lay it lowly at his blessed feet. Have thou the honor first thy Lord to greet, and join thy voice unto the angel choir, from out his secret altar touched with hallowed fire. It was the winter wild, while the heaven-born child all meanly wrapped in the rude manger lies. Nature in awe to him hath doffed her gaudy trim, with her great master so to sympathize. It was no season then for her to wanton with the sun, her lusty paramour. Only with speeches fair she woos the gentle air to hide her guilty front with innocent snow, and on her naked shame pollute with sinful blame the saintly veil of maiden white to throw. Confounded that her Maker's eyes should look so near upon her foul deformities. But he her fears to cease, sent down the meek-eyed Peace. She, crowned with olive green, came softly sliding down through the turning sphere, his ready harbinger, with turtle wing the amorous clouds dividing. And waving wide her myrtle wand, she strikes a universal peace through sea and land. No war or battle sound was heard the world around. The idle spear and shield were high uphung. The hooked chariot stood unstained with hostile blood. The trumpet spake not to the armed throng. And king sat still with awful eye, as if they surely knew their sovereign lord was by. But peaceful was the night, wherein the Prince of Light his reign of peace upon the earth began. The winds with wonder whist, smoothly the waters kissed, whispering new joys to the mild ocean, who now hath quite forgot to rave, while birds of calm sit brooding on the charmed wave. The stars with deep amaze stand fixed in steadfast gaze, bending one way their precious influence, and will not take their flight for all the morning light, or Lucifer that often warned them thence. But in their glimmering orbs did glow, until their Lord himself bespake and bid them go. And though the shady gloom had given day her room, the sun himself withheld his wonted speed, and hid his head for shame, as his inferior flame the new enlightened world no more should need. He saw a greater sun appear than his bright throne or burning axle-tree could bear. The shepherds on the lawn, or ere the point of dawn, sat simply chatting in a rustic row. Full little thought they then that the mighty Pan was kindly come to live with them below. Perhaps their loves, or else their sheep, was all that did their silly thoughts so busy keep. When such music sweet their hearts and ears did greet, as never was by mortal finger struck, divinely warbled voice answering the stringed noise, as all their souls in blissful rapture took. The air such pleasure loath to lose, with thousand echoes still prolongs each heavenly close. Nature, that heard such sound beneath the hollow round of Cynthia's seat, the airy region thrilling, now was almost won to think her part was done, and that her reign had here its last fulfilling. She knew such harmony alone could hold all heaven and earth in happier union. At last surrounds their sight a globe of circular light that with long beams the shame-faced night arrayed. The helmed cherubim and sworded seraphim are seen in glittering ranks with wings displayed, harping in loud and solemn choir with unexpressive notes to heaven's new-born air. Such music, as 'tis said, before was never made, but when of old the sons of morning sung. while the Creator great his constellations set, and the well-balanced world on hinges hung, and cast the dark foundations deep, and bid the weltering waves their oozy channel keep. Ring out, ye crystal spheres, once bless our human ears, if ye have power to touch our senses so, and let your silver chime move in melodious time, and let the bass of heaven's deep organ blow, and with your ninefold harmony make up full consort to the angelic symphony. For if such holy song enwrap our fancy long, time will run back and fetch the age of gold, and speckled vanity will sicken soon and die, and leprous sin will melt from earthly mould, and hell itself will pass away, and leave her dolorous mansions to the peering day. Yea, truth and justice then will down return to men, the enameled arras of the rainbow wearing, and mercy set between, throned in celestial sheen, with radiant feet the tissued clouds down steering, and heaven, as at some festival, will open wide the gates of her high palace hall. But wisest fate says, no, this must not yet be so. The babe lies yet in smiling infancy, that on the bitter cross must redeem our loss, so both himself and us to glorify. Yet first to those enchained in sleep, the wakeful trump of doom must thunder through the deep, with such a horrid clang as on Mount Sinai rang, while the red fire and smouldering clouds outbreak, the aged earth, aghast with terror of that blast, shall from the surface to the center shake, when at the world's last session the dreadful judge in middle air shall spread his throne. And then at last our bliss full and perfect is, but now begins. For from this happy day the old dragon underground in straiter limits bound, not half so far cast his usurped sway, and wroth to see his kingdom fail, swinges the scaly horror of his folded tail. The oracles are dumb. No voice or hideous hum runs through the arched roof in words deceiving. Apollo from his shrine can no more divine, with hollow shriek the steep of Delphos leaving. No nightly trance or breathed spell inspires the pale-eyed priest from the prophetic cell. The lonely mountains o'er, and the resounding shore, a voice of weeping heard, and loud lament, from haunted spring and dale, edged with poplar pale, the parting genius is with sighing sent. With flower-inwoven tresses torn, the nymphs in twilight shade of tangled thickets mourn. In consecrated earth, and on the holy hearth, the Lars and Lemures moan with midnight plaint. In urns and altars round, a drear and dying sound affrights the flamens at their service quaint. And the chill marble seems to sweat, while each peculiar power forgoes his wonted seat. Peor and Bahalim forsake their temples dim, with that twice-battered god of Palestine, and mooned Ashtaroth, heaven's queen and mother both, now sits not girt with taper's holy shrine. The Libyac Haman shrinks his horn. In vain the Tyrian maids their wounded Thammuz mourn, and sullen Moloch fled, hath left in shadows dread his burning idol all of blackest hue. In vain with cymbals ring they call the grisly king in dismal dance about the furnace blue. The brutish gods of Nile as fast, Isis and Orus, and the dog Anubis haste. Nor is Osiris seen in Memphian grove or green, trampling the unshowered grass with lowings loud. Nor can he be at rest within his sacred chest, naught but profoundest hell can be his shroud. In vain with timbreled anthems dark, the sable-stoled sorcerers bear his worshipped ark. He feels from Judah's land the dreaded infant's hand, the rays of Bethlehem blind his dusky eyne. Nor all the gods beside longer dare abide, nor Typhon, huge ending in snaky twine. Our babe, to show his godhead true, can in his swaddling bands control the damned crew. So, when the sun in bed, curtained with cloudy red, pillows his chin upon an orient wave, the flocking shadows pale troop to the infernal jail, each fettered ghost slips to his several grave, and the yellow-skirted fays fly after the night steeds, leaving their moon-loved maze. But see, the virgin blessed hath laid her babe to rest. Time is our tedious song, should here have ending. Heaven's youngest teemed star hath fixed her polished car, her sleeping lord with handmade lamp attending. And all about the courtly stable, bright harnessed angels sit in order serviceable.